Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Thanksgiving is tremendous for all of the essentials, the ones that I lay out for you almost every time I talk about Thanksgiving here on the show. And while we're talking about what this week represents, we're also through week 12 in the NFL and only a few hours, that's what it feels like, until we kick off week 13 of the NFL season. Man, it starts to go a lot quicker. And because Thanksgiving is so late this year, do you know what Saturday is? No, Sunday. Sunday. Do you know what Sunday is? It's December. Stop it. How is that even possible? December on Sunday. Pete, are you ready for that? Because I am not ready for December and Christmas decorations 2 days after Thanksgiving. I won't even be done eating leftovers and cleaning up by the time we get to December.
No, I won't be ready for it until about December 23rd, maybe.
Well, let's hope it's a little before that, just because I will not see you at that point. We'll be well past the last point at which I will see you by then until the end of the year. Yeah, we'll get to that holiday schedule at some point when we are actually into December, but it's very close and I still can't believe it. It causes my mouth to drop open when I think about the fact that we are days away from December. And December is always a doozy, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. For now, we're working on Thanksgiving. And if you were listening to our show last night, you know that I sort of stumbled into my fear of making a turkey by myself for the first time. I got great advice from Maggie, who works on the, or host, who works and is hosting the morning show right after hours. So we do mornings, they do mornings, everyone does mornings. It's the brining, she said, that will really be key. She called it clutch, because of course we must use a sports word to talk about brining the turkey. So brining is something that I've done in the past with my mom, but I've not ever done it myself. I've never stuffed the turkey myself. Truth be told, I don't really like sticking my hand into a dead turkey, or a live turkey either. I don't like sticking my hands into the bird, but I will, or somehow I will rope one of the other family members into doing it. I'll beg off that I've got other things to do. If you want your dessert, your walnut apple crisp, if you want your pumpkin pie or your oatmeal apricot bars, then you better stick your hand in that turkey butt. Right? I mean, I feel like that works. No? Okay.
Yes, that's a good way to go about it.
Especially the one family member who said she doesn't cook at all. Okay, well, we're going to have something for you to do. I guess you can do all the dishes as we give them to you. I'd be okay with that. Or you can pour the drinks, or you can set the table, or whatever it is that you need to do. But
how about drink the drinks? I'll drink the drinks.
No, she can't. Well, yeah, she can do that too, but there has to be a role. She has to have a role. On this edition of the show, because I am a little bit nervous about the turkey cooking process, I'm going to need some encouragement in the form of, hey, I blew up a turkey once, something along those lines. Not if it meant that your house also caught on fire. But we're going to look up statistics on this edition of the show, because I have heard that there are wild statistics about the number of people who end up in emergency rooms, the number of people who have to go to the hospital on a holiday, the number of people who either set an oven on fire, set a turkey on fire, have a house fire because of their turkey process or their cooking process. And I would say, even as Pete mentions the alcohol, well, there's a problem combining your turkey cooking process with your alcohol. Let those people stay out of the kitchen. But you do hear all these crazy stories about how fire departments and first responders are really doing double time during holidays, especially Thanksgiving. So not that I need those kinds of stories, but if you're a first responder or a firefighter, or you're part of a fire department, even as a volunteer, and you want to tell us some crazy story, we're all in. But I would like to know if there's anyone out there who has a Thanksgiving horror story. It's like combining Halloween and Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving horror story, because not all Thanksgivings are terrific. Not all cooking experiences go swimmingly. Although this might actually make me even more nervous. Maybe it's a bad idea. Pete thought this was a good idea because he believes it'll be funny. I mean, if you can laugh now, sure. But what happens if I end up doing something similar?
You got to tell a story. You got to be able to tell a story.
Well, I did tell the story last year. I owned up to the fact that I set a pie on fire in my oven. Right. It was an honest mistake. Who knew that the broiler, the flames would be so hot that the walnuts would end up catching fire?
There's no story around the pie that was cooked correctly.
I mean, it's delicious, but you're right. Right. It's not nearly as interesting a story when it all works out the way it's supposed to.
That's right.
It's kind of like sports, right? If it all worked out according to script, I'm using my air quotations, well, it wouldn't be nearly as interesting.
We want a turkey heading to space.
So... a turkey that gets catapulted across the room. A turkey that, let's see, is either undercooked, overcooked, let's hope not still alive. If you pardoned your turkey, anybody else out there name their turkeys? Because we do that in our family. Is that morbid? You name the turkey only to end up, well, we were grateful for the turkey. I love turkey. And I think the animals themselves are so interesting. They're really ugly, and yet they're everywhere. They've learned how to survive. These puppies are survivors. When we were in Hawaii on our honeymoon in May, there was a family, a gaggle, an entire gaggle and flock of turkeys that would surround our rental car. As we'd come out of the Airbnb where we were staying, we tried to get to our rental car, and I wasn't trying to tangle with a turkey. There'd be all kinds of turkeys hanging out in the parking structure. It was a carport type of thing. Oh yeah, the turkeys were running the establishment. They're smart birds, I suppose, but they're also survivors, and they make such great noises. Who doesn't love a turkey gobble? I actually can do one. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Well, it's not Thanksgiving yet, so you have to wait until our official show right before Thanksgiving. But I start to practice this time of the year. Go. You actually have to shake your head, because if you don't shake your head, you don't get the same warble. Don't worry. I'll unveil it. But people who've been listening for 12 years now, you've heard the turkey gobble. It's authentic.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. That in and of itself.
It's going to take the cake.
Yes, the way it is.
It's going to take the pumpkin pie.
Yes.
Sweet. Well, I need some turkey and Thanksgiving Day horrors just to make me feel better or to remind me what not to do. Don't just put the turkey in the oven and forget all about it. Don't do that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to hear from you online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you have not yet voted for Monday MVP, you can, because it's still Monday in parts of our amazing United States of America. So we've got the poll pinned to the top of our show Twix at Amy After Hours, or you can find it on our Facebook page, Easy Peasy Lemon Squeezy. That's actually on a t-shirt that I have for a half marathon I ran, which is why it's top of mind. We're going to get to Ravens and Chargers, as that was the last game of week number 12. And of course, brotherly love, it doesn't just exist in Philadelphia. In fact, I'm not even sure it exists in Philadelphia. I would say that definitively, if not for our friend John Kincaid, who is all about the brotherly love and still the brotherly shove, too. But the brotherly love, it's outside of Philly, and tonight it was in Los Angeles. Great stuff from Jim and John. And just to set it up, you may have been listening or watching when they were doing the pregame interviews, but Laura Rutledge caught up with Jim Harbaugh. So Lisa Salters talked to John, and he's always so well-spoken and humble and humorous. And then Jim, who's unique. There is no one quite like Jim Harbaugh. And he was asked by Laura about his emotions as he faces this game against his best friend. And he said, "I love my brother. I would die for my brother, but I would not let him win a football game. And he wouldn't want it that way." That's terrific. So good. And there are lots of photos of the two of them pregame. And I'm sure it's really neat for their dad. Of course, their dad is still around. He attends their press conferences and leads the people in the chant, or I guess the, what would it be called, the answer back? The, what is that when, you know, like when members of the military, they have to repeat the chant?
Yeah, I would say that's the way to describe it.
Right. So whatever they call it, it's their routine on every game day and probably at Thanksgiving as well, in which one of the Harbaughs asks, who has it better than us? And everybody has to respond, nobody, everybody at the table. Or as one time was the case, Mr. Harbaugh, Senior Harbaugh, tried to get the media to do it in Baltimore and didn't get much of a response. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Got to hear your Thanksgiving and turkey terrors, your horrific stories. Okay, not horrific, but just humorous. Like the guy who called us last night from Ontario to say that, yes, in fact, they do celebrate American Thanksgiving in his household. And he wanted, I think it was his aunt. I think he was talking about an aunt, but it was a female family member who put the turkey into the oven, but forgot to take out the plastic bag that contains the giblets. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world. Do you say giblets or giblets? Giblets or giblets?
Giblets.
Connor, giblets or giblets? Oh, it's a good test for Connor, who's training on the show. Don't tell him which button. See if he can figure out all by himself. It might go out into the universe, you know.
There we go.
Boom. Yeah. Is this thing on? Okay, so is it giblets or giblets?
Giblets.
Giblets. Shoot, now I don't know. Giblets. 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 Kibbles and bits. No, it's giblets. I'm going giblets.
I'll be a man.
We can turn that into a poll too.
Be a man on my own island.
You'll be a man alone on your island?
Yes.
Well, giblets. One thing we are not ever on this edition of the show is being alone on our island. That's why we got to be careful what we say. We can't trust people. Also on this edition of the show, we've got, well, another one of those shows from Kyrie Irving, because he likes to show off. Kristaps Porzingis returns for the Boston Celtics, and there were some people who thought he could be out the first half of the NBA season, but he is back. Dan Hurley is fired up, and it's not because of Thanksgiving. The longtime coach of UConn, the national championship winning coach, he is not having what he saw on the court at the end of the game between the Huskies and Memphis. Went into overtime. Huskies absorbed their first loss of the year. And then just leftovers. Oh, we love leftovers Thanksgiving week. But leftovers from the football week, to be sure. Brock Purdy was practicing on Monday, so that's great news. Just a lot that we want to talk about, including the dog story. Many of you have reached out. You've asked me about the dog. I will just qualify it by saying we are still in a trial process. So she isn't officially adopted into our family, I suppose, because we haven't yet paid for the adoption process. Mm-hmm. But I was a little bit concerned over the weekend because she's not quite as not quite what they build. Right. So not quite what they told us, at least with us. Now, she may have been at her foster home, but we were a little bit surprised by the fact that she wasn't quite the way they described her. However, Monday was a good day. I didn't sleep the entire day because everybody else in the family was in New York City sightseeing and I was attempting to sleep, but the dog wanted none of that. So there was no sleeping on Monday, so I can't be held responsible for anything I say on this edition of the show.
Got it.
But the dog story, it's actually sweet. It's bittersweet. And I am encouraged after Monday because it's only been a little over 48 hours. I know she's still acclimating, and I think there's potential. Though if she keeps licking my husband in the face, there's going to be a problem. She waits. She lies in wait. You get close to her, you pet her, maybe stick your face down so you can rub her head. She's the prettiest and softest ears. Anyway, you get anywhere close to her, and this big old long pink tongue slurp. Oh, she's a licker, to be sure. And that's one of the things that I loved about Penny is that she did not lick me. She was not a licker at all. My mom had a dog, an Aussie, that just licked everything, anything and everything. And I suspect that might be this dog, which, like I said, you got to be fast. You got to stick your face down there and get out while you're still dry. But the dog she'll take any advantage to lick you. So yeah, my husband doesn't love that part. He actually threatened to do something to her tongue. He was kidding. She's not even ours yet. He loves dogs. And she already adores him, which I guess he's just going to have to deal with it or get faster. So there's some fun stories already about acclimating our household. There's been hissing. There's been growling. There's been barking. There's been some fighting. There's been zero sleeping. And we're still working on it.
One step at a time.
Right? All right, coming up, we've got the final game of week number 12, the one that you chose as the after hours game of the week, the Har Bowl, the brothers, and in some ways, it's the same old story. In other ways, it's very different as the Ravens and Chargers kicked off on Monday night in LA. So we'll get to that coming up. Plus your Thanksgiving terror stories, your Thanksgiving horror flicks. Oh no, maybe this might be a really bad idea. I might regret this. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we'll put up a spot where you can weigh in, and then we'll get to your calls too. 855-212-4227. Again, I may live to regret this and decide I'm not cooking a turkey after all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Herbert to throw. Has time. Still has time. Now he's going to take off. There goes Herbert to the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Justin Herbert on the ground from 5 yards out. His second rushing score of the season.
Jackson in the gun. Looks over a four-man front. Shotgun snap. A fake handoff. Jackson will take it himself. He runs to the 10 laterally. Cuts at the 5. Goes to the pylon. On the near sideline. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson with a 10-yard touchdown run. Out of a very unique backfield setup. On a fake to Henry.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
That's right. Football is a major part of Thanksgiving week in so many ways, and it's just a few hours in between week 12 and week 13, plus a ton of college football games, high school football games, too. I know our family members in Texas, they've got a playoff game on Friday. They've got a playoff game on the Thanksgiving holiday, so a lot of high school teams around the country are in the throes of their drive for championship. So it is a great week for family, friends, food, fun, football, and faith as well. If you're giving thanks this week, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page too. Producer Pete's going to throw up a spot where you can share with us your Thanksgiving meal horror stories. And no, I don't mean about some fight that you had over who knows what. I mean about cooking. Anyone want to share your cooking tips via a horror story, as in don't do this? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Monday Night Football between the Harbaugh brothers and a whole lot of players that were actually out there on the field. And the first two TDs of the game, now, they were separated by a quarter, but the first two TDs of the game were both rushing touchdowns for these two star quarterbacks. The reigning MVP in Lamar Jackson, we know he's always available to break through for a touchdown, a 10-yard run from him. And that cut into a lead with the Chargers. They jumped out to a 10-0 advantage, and the first touchdown of the game belonged to Justin Herbert. He was terrific. I thought the crowd was great there at SoFi. Having talked to one of the sideline reporters from the Chargers radio network last week, Shannon Farron, she told us that the fans are buzzing, finally, about Chargers football. Even though it may feel like SoFi is the home of the Rams, people are showing up now to watch the Chargers, which I think is cool. We are pretty confident and comfortable in saying that the Ravens don't mind falling into a bit of a hole. They're okay with having to rally. They feel like once they find their second gear, once they have the ball control established, they can be really good at what they do. And under Greg Roman, their second year offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. Greg Roman is now with LA. That's the tie, actually. With Todd Monken, their second-year O coordinator, and Lamar Jackson being more innovative and having more say in what plays they call, and also being less inclined to run. I know that sounds funny because a lot of people view Lamar Jackson as a running quarterback or a run-first quarterback, but that's not actually the case. If you watch the progression of the Ravens offense, then you know he very much wants to throw, and he can be as accurate as any quarterback in the NFL. When he is locked in and when he's focused, he's terrific. Now, the Ravens have a penalty problem. That's become a major issue for them. Sometimes it holds them back. But I do love the way in this game and in most games when the offense is clicking that they are able to mix both run and pass. They've got Derrick Henry. He's over 100 yards again. He's one of the top rushers in the league, which frees up Lamar to evade, escape, extend plays, but also fire darts.
Lamar's in the gun. Flowers, his receiver, on the move. Shotgun snap. Left tackle block. Winding up. Long spiral pass. Arching far side. Intercepted on a back pedal. Falling down in the end zone. Fulton. But the flag was thrown. And they call it a touchdown.
Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network along with Kurt Warner tonight. Rashad Bateman hauls in this 40-yard pass from Lamar Jackson, and he does it while he's being held. It was actually a ball that was slightly underthrown. Now, it was dropped in at a perfect angle, and Rashad had to adjust. He had to turn, face his quarterback after trying to hold off the defender. He has to turn, face his quarterback, and really focus on bringing that ball in and securing it, despite the fact that there was pass interference. So that 40-yarder with about 20 seconds to go in the first half. Justin Herbert, terrific in response, able to get one big pass play and set the Chargers up for a long field goal. And so we had a 14-13 game at the break, which was great. By the way, in case you're keeping score at home, Justin Tucker did hit a field goal that was greater than 40 yards. And so that's what we got in the third quarter. And as much as I want to remind you, kickers are people too this Thanksgiving week. We've had a pretty crazy weekend with kicker oddities and punting oddities. But these guys, if you see what's happening in the NFL this year, the range is getting farther and farther out. Justin Tucker notwithstanding. I know it's an off year for him, but farther and farther out where it's nothing to go for a 52-yard field goal, which means you actually don't even get credit for a red zone appearance, because if your field goal is 52 yards, you're not in the red zone. And part of the issue is that these teams, they're settling for kicks. And I think it's another option when you've got a guy who can nail a 52-yarder, a 55-yarder. But how often are we seeing this season where kickers are lining up for 60-plus yard field goals and in some cases are making them? So, yeah, keep that in mind when guys talk about the fact that they're leaving points on the field or they're settling for kicks. In these cases, they're not even getting into the red zone sometimes, but feeling like they wasted a possession, even though they got a deep kick from, well, Cameron Dicker, the kicker, or in this case, Justin Tucker. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, picking up in the fourth quarter, like we saw with so many games in week number 12. And Mark Andrews, he's becoming an elder statesman in the NFL now, right? Heard the conversation that he did post-game with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, and he actually, I've not heard any other athlete do this at the beginning, before he answered their first question. Thank you, guys. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, it's such an honor to be on with you. I appreciate your time. That's how you know. He's an elder statesman. Anyway, he's definitely seen a middle section of the season that is a lot more productive. And he and Lamar Jackson, they're connecting more now. But if you remember, the first five games of the season, he did not have a touchdown. And now here he is. He's in the top five when it comes to TD receptions in the NFL. And this one was delicious. It required some dance moves on the back of the end zone.
Inside the seven, third and goal for the Ravens. Deep in Charger territory, shotgun snap, dropping back five, line drive throw, caught, leaping, catch back to the end zone, the tight end Andrews. A beautiful thread-like line drive touchdown pass. Lamar Jackson with a strike of 6 yards.
Let no one tell you that Mark Andrews isn't an athlete, because he elevated for that one and had to hold on to it, even though there was contact with a defender in the back of the end zone. Not to mention he ended up falling down, had to get his toes inbound or his feet inbound. And initially that ball was called, it was actually waved off by the official. It was called no catch. It was called not a touchdown, but instead they end up looking at it or talking about it together, and it turns into a touchdown as it should be. At this point, you've seen the Ravens rally past the Chargers. And I love the fact that they have so many different ways that they can beat their opponents and beat their opponents' defense. Now, keep in mind, the Chargers had been allowing under 15 points per game. Only one game before tonight did the Chargers allow more than 13 points. So this is how their season looked. And we should know, of course, that John's little brother, Jim, that Jim Harbaugh, his hallmark is defense. That's what he works on first, because he feels like you can establish identity and culture. You can win games by being a stingy defense. So this is how it went. 10 points. These are the points allowed in their games through starting with the beginning of the season. 10 points, 3 points, 10, 10, 16, no, yes, 16, 15, 8, 10, 17, 27. So the last couple of weeks, we're seeing more of an uptick. Here again, against the Ravens, they allow 30 points. And it's really a testament to how dangerous this Ravens offense can be. You think about Lamar and what he can do with his legs in order to extend plays and wait for his receivers to filter downfield. You think about Derrick Henry and what he's done to get them over 200 yards rushing as a team. But he's not the only option out of the backfield.
Hill, the running back, Jackson in the gun. The 49-yard line of Baltimore, third and two. Shotgun snap. Handoff, Hill runs laterally. Stiff arms, breaks a tackle, 50. Got a block, 40 on the numbers, 30. Far side, foot race, 20. Far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Or did he step out of bounds? Let's see where they're marking. No, it is a touchdown. Walking the tightrope down the far side.
You know my favorite thing about that Justice Hill TD, and I'm actually watching it right now again on the highlights. If you're wondering, NFL Network is re-airing the game from the beginning, the Harbaugh. The one thing I love about that TD, you know, a lot of times when guys are trying to get around the edge, they take a circuitous route. It's more like a semicircle. No, Justice Hill went to his, well, he took the ball. He went straight and then did a right-hand turn and just boom, up the field. I mean, he stopped on a dime, pivoted, and he was gone. There was no scenic route, no circuitous route. There was no semicircle. It was a hard right, and he was gone through the next level of the defense. So the Ravens, again, able to control the ball. They get the 212 rushing yards. And once again, Derrick Henry over 100. In fact, he finishes with 140.
Great all-around back, man. I can't like give him credit enough for how locked in he is, you know, and how dynamic he is. He just, I always say this, you know, King Henry, the name just fits him well, you know, very well.
Over 100 extra yards for the Baltimore Ravens, even though they fell into a 10-0 hole to begin this game. And they were perfect in the red zone, 2 for 2. I also think that as much as this team can hurt you a variety of ways, they've still got the identity of wanting to control the ball and strong arm you. And they're able to do a lot with that offensive line, win those battles in the trenches. 9 penalties, though, for over 100 yards. So that's still a concern for the Ravens, the most penalized team in the NFL. We'll hear from the Harbaughs as well as Justin Herbert, who looked good. This is a fun game if you wanted two high-level elite quarterbacks who were putting their best feet forward, At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. If you want to vote for the Monday MVP, After Hours Monday MVP, that poll is still live at Amy After Hours. And producer Pete's going to put up a spot where you can share your Thanksgiving horror stories or some tips about what not to do as I cook my first turkey solo. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. We'll get to some of your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We kick off with Monday Night Football.
Inside the 7, 3rd and goal for the Ravens. Deep in Charger territory, shotgun snap, dropping back 5, line drive throw, caught, leaping, catch back in the end zone, the tight end Enders. A beautiful thread-like line drive touchdown pass. Lamar Jackson with a strike of 6 yards.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. The Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. Lamar Jackson with 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. Derrick Henry rushed 24 times for 140 yards. Now to the NBA, and we start in Indiana.
Rebound tapped out toward the foul line, gobbled up by Siakam. He's running into the open floor. The Pelicans get back defensively. Haliburton is open. Siakam found him for 3. Indiana by 7 with 5 minutes and 27 seconds left to play.
Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. Pacers beat the Pelicans 114-110. Tyrese Haliburton with 34 points. Elsewhere, Thunder over the Kings 130-109. Nets beat the Warriors 128-120. Knicks 145, Nuggets 118. OG Anunoby with 40 points. The Grizzlies over the Blazers 123-98. The Celtics top the Clippers 126-94. Jason Tatum at 20 points. Mavericks over the Hawks 129-119. Magic beat the Hornets 95-84. And the Pistons over the Raptors 102-100. College basketball in overtime. Memphis beat number 2 UConn 99-97. It was number 4 Auburn over number 5 Iowa State 83-81. NHL Sharks over the Kings 7-2. Kraken 3, Ducks 2. Jets over the Wild 4-1. Hurricane 6, Stars 4. Senators beat the Flames 4-3 and wins for the Red Wings, Golden Knights, Blues, Devils, Lightning, and Capitals. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, sports fans, it's Jim Rome. Check us out 24/7 on your local affiliate or the Odyssey app.
Now sets up a Chargers onside kick. Cameron Dicker kicks the onside kick, rolling near side. Isaiah Likely falls on it, and the Hayes in the barn with 45 seconds left to play. The Ravens will beat the LA Chargers. And finally, we can call this one as John Harbaugh will beat Jim Harbaugh for a third time in the Battle of the Brothers.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The last time the Harbaughs met on opposing sidelines was the Super Bowl following the 2012 season. And that is poignant for me, and I would assume for producer Pete as well, because we as a network launched on January 1st, 2013. And by the brilliance of those who founded the network, they had us start, I think it's probably helpful for tax purposes as well, they had us start right as the NFL playoffs were kicking off. So we had an instant audience built in because we love our football in this country, and the playoffs, they drive audiences on TV and radio like nobody's business. And so we hop right into the fray the very first few days and month that we are here on the radio and all over the country. Many of our great affiliates, as well as SiriusXM and blah, 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 we're all over the place, right? I don't know that we had an app then. You could listen online, but I don't think we had an app then. People would listen on TuneIn or iHeart, that kind of thing. But we could be heard all over the country with 300-plus affiliates. Terrific. And we jumped right into a playoff that resulted in the Niners and the Ravens meeting in the Super Bowl. And at that time, Jim Harbaugh was coaching the 49ers. And, of course, John beat little brother Jim in, I think it was New Orleans, right? And if I'm not mistaken, that Super Bowl also featured a power outage. Early in the second half, the lights went out in New Orleans. Right after that, the Niners came roaring back in that game. So the Ravens had established a lead. I don't remember exactly what it was. But the Niners almost felt like that power outage stymied the momentum of the Ravens out of the locker room. And behind Colin Kaepernick, the Niners made quite a charge, and ultimately the Ravens won. But I remember that, and I can't believe that that's the last time these two brothers faced off. But of course, Jim, he's been in college for the better part of the last decade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jerry Sandusky with the call, as the Ravens did need to recover an onside kick to be sure they had this game in the bag. And the 212 yards rushing are amazing, but Lamar looked real good as well, the way that he was zinging the ball around, not being asked to do a whole lot. He went He went 16 of 22, 177 yards, but two touchdowns, no turnovers actually for either team. So it's a nice clean game except for the penalties. A lot of the attention on the Harbaughs, of course, but I like Lamar's perspective on the two brothers.
I feel like, for me being a big brother, it's like I can't lose to my little brother, you know, and that's what I believe going into that game. He was thinking a lot, you know, and then Jim on the other side, I believe he was like, I got to beat my big brother. But we came out victorious, so I feel like that's a good thing.
Anybody who has siblings certainly understands those personal rivalries. Something I did not know, though, is that these two brothers shared a bedroom in their home growing up for 16 years. So they not only are brothers who come from a coaching family, they're not only brothers who stand on their faith and will talk about their faith and obviously have success wherever they go, they're also best friends, which I think is really neat. And as I said before the game, when Jim was interviewed about John, he said, I'd die for my brother. I'd lay down my life for my brother, but I wouldn't let him beat me in a football game, and he wouldn't want it that way. So afterwards, the two met for a very brief conversation, more just a few words at midfield, and you could hear John Harbaugh speaking to his little brother, but actually he was, oh, I guess we don't have it. I'll just talk about it. What he said to him was, you're a great football coach, you have a great team, and I love you. And that was kind of neat just to hear that. They were mic'd up, of course, or there were mics near there. And yeah, Jim Harbaugh, maybe not going into quite the same detail, but I love their relationship.
I always said the same thing. Congratulated him on the victory, and then love you.
How about that? I always say the same thing. Congratulations on your victory. Oh, don't. Yes, the three times they've met, it's been the John Harbaugh victory, and the older brother has prevailed. But older brother also loves his little brother and will talk about him every chance he gets.
And these are just huge battles every week in this league. And going against a team that's this well coached by all their coaches and by my brother Jim, best coach in the National Football League, what he's done with that team and how hard they play and what they did, hats off to them, because they're going to win a lot more football games this year and they're going to be a major factor in the playoffs.
Isn't that neat? He calls his little brother the best coach in the NFL. I love the fact that they have a relationship in which they're extremely supportive. And we've got lots of different siblings that are notable in professional sports. Of course, the Watt brothers, even though JJ is gone now, but he is always TJ's biggest fan, and Derek there too. I love the Williams sisters in tennis and the fact that they matched up so many times and they would compete so hard, but they would each talk about how it actually made them sick to beat the other one. They didn't want to do that, but it was their jobs and they were competitive. And so they would play hard and then they would go back to being sisters, but that it was actually hard for them, physically challenging for them to beat each other because they didn't take any joy out of beating one another. So I love that. As for Justin Herbert, he and the Chargers, they start out like a house on fire. They've got the touchdown on the opening drive when he gets into the end zone. They go 7 of 16 on third and fourth down, but they had to settle for field goals a few times and really slowed down there in the second half.
Appreciate the way guys battled and fought there at the end. It's an unfortunate ending. We wanted to score more points and we didn't do that. And, you know, you got to take a look back at, getting those opportunities in the red zone and making sure that we're converting on third down. I thought we did a good job of limiting turnovers, you know, keeping the ball and doing everything we can. We just got to score more points.
In between their two scores in the second half, so they have a touchdown on their last possession, which made this a one-score game, thus the need for the onside kick. But in between that and the field goal where they started the second half, a pair of three and outs. And the problem is you give the ball back to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, and they know how to play that ball control game. So right after they have their field goal, so this is kind of how it played out there in the second half, the Ravens use 14 plays and more than 6.5 minutes to go their 70 yards, right? So they're milking that clock. Right after that, the Chargers go three and out. So what do? You turn around and put your tired Chargers defense right back on the field to have to face Lamar Jackson and his offense yet again. So it becomes kind of a snowball effect. Robert is listening in Detroit. Robert, welcome to After Hours. Robert. Do you think Robert put us on mute? Probably. Huh.
Cooking a turkey.
Or maybe he's sleeping. That sounds like snoring to me. Either that or he's winding some kind of a... Oh, no, that's snoring. Listen. Did we wake him up? Wait, hold on. There's more. It's like a lion growling in the jungle. It's the best. Wait, hold on. There he is. All right. All right, we'll put Robert out of his misery. Do you know that that sounded more like a guy trying to start a lawnmower? When you pull the chain to start the lawnmower, that's what it sounded like on that last big loud one. We're going to need to bring that back. Actually, Producer Pete, do you know that we have a collection of people who are snoring, who have called the show and have fallen asleep because it's late hours for them or they're tired, and whatever you need. If you need a show to put you to sleep, I'm happy to provide that service. So we have an entire collection of barnyard animals. I'm pretty sure it was Isaac who put them together in a montage. It's really funny. We have a horse, we have a goat, we have a sheep. We have all kinds of animals, of people who've fallen asleep on the show and their snoring sounds like animals. Now, that's not what my husband's snoring sounds like. His is much more hearty, if you will. Robert sounded like a lion who is like lying in wait and growling in the jungle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.